And peace be with you as you gather today. Certainly we are in the last Sunday of the season of Advent. We are reaching that final turn which leads to Christmas Eve and to Christmas Day. And so we read a portion of the second chapter, although the bulletin does not indicate that correctly, of the Gospel of St. Matthew. And simply put, the first chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew tells you about the genealogy of Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. And the third chapter tells you about the coming of the wise men, the three kings from years gone by, who come looking for the Messiah. And so it is the second chapter where we hear about the birth of Jesus. We know that because in the first chapter, the first verse of today's gospel, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place this way." And the last verse, the 25th verse, says, "And he named him Jesus." So Jesus is born at that point. So this is Matthew's account of the birth narrative of our Lord. This is Matthew's account of it. There are no angels. There are no shepherds. There is no heavenly chorus. There is no wonder and amazement of having to go to Bethlehem because you have to pay a tax and return to the ancestral home of your father. There is no manger, there are no swaddling clothes. None of that appears in the Gospel of Matthew. And if you want to wonder why that is not there, you are free to do so. I frankly don't know why it doesn't appear there. If it was a story that all Christians knew from the beginning of time, then I suppose it would be there. I tend to think, and this is something that I've been told when I went to seminary, that each of the Gospels, and there are four Gospels, was written by a hand or many hands in a geographic location. And while they shared some information about Jesus's birth and life and death and resurrection, not all of the Gospels are identical to one another. We tend to kind of think that they are, but they're somewhat different. Each of the Gospels starts out very differently. The Gospel of Mark begins with the baptism of Jesus. That's where it begins. The Gospel of John begins with those words that ring true to us. In the beginning was the Word. It is kind of a theological approach to Jesus. Where did he come from? Let me tell you, in the beginning was the Word. In Matthew and Luke, we have kind of narratives of our Lord's birth. The Luke version of the gospel, you'll hear that on Christmas Eve. You'll hear how there was an order, a decree that went out across all the land that the people should be taxed in the hometown of their ancestry. And so we'll hear that story on Christmas Eve. But Matthew starts so very differently. "Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place this way." And so his focus isn't necessarily on the events of Jesus' birth, except to say Jesus was born in a circumstance far different than perhaps we might have imagined. And so he tells about the faithfulness of Mary. And indeed, Matthew dwells upon the faithfulness of Joseph. If you're like me, you think Joseph, well, frankly, he gets a pretty bad turn in the Gospels. He shows up particularly in this one chapter of Matthew, but he tends to disappear almost immediately. And some Bible commentators would say, well, you know, Joseph was much older than Mary, and he did not live long into Jesus' life. Perhaps before Jesus even began his ministry, Joseph passed away. But it's a shame that that's the case, because I'm sure Joseph had an important influence on Jesus' life. And certainly before he was born, Joseph made some important decisions about who Jesus was and about how he would treat him. And so we hear how an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream. and said that Mary, who had conceived the child, even though she had not necessarily been living with her husband, had received this child from the Holy Spirit, and that Joseph should receive him as his son. I think it must have been hard in Jesus' day to deal with that. It is hard, perhaps even in our day. In Jesus' day, people would wag their tongue and point their fingers when things didn't always happen the way they had hoped they would happen, or perhaps the way society would expect them to happen. Sometimes even in our own day, people shake their head and wag a finger or two at things that happen, perhaps out of sequence. I suppose the thing I'd like to lift up most to you today is that God uses this very unusual circumstance to reveal his presence to the world. For indeed, we hear that Joseph is to call his son Jesus, which in Hebrew means God saves, or God will save. Moreover, we're reminded of Isaiah's prophecy that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And even perhaps a better translation than God is with us is a translation that I heard recently, which says, God is one of us and among us. It's one thing to have God with you, the same way you might be in a crowd with someone and a celebrity shows up. And that's really nice. But it's nicer when that celebrity identifies himself or herself with the people around them. He is one of us. That's something to be celebrated. And so as we approach Christmas, and we look to our own lives, and we look to the lives of people around us, odd things will happen. Odd things will happen in people's lives, and you'll say, my golly, what a strange thing has happened. And I suppose what I'd like to encourage you to do is to consider perhaps that a strange thing has happened for a reason, and that God may be working through that strange thing that happens to do something good around you, or perhaps even with you. I would like to believe that Christians would refrain from wagging their tongues and pointing fingers at people, but to say something unusual has happened among us. Perhaps God is going to work through this to do some good work in our lifetime, or perhaps for generations to come. If you were to find a problem with the people who were God's people back in Jesus' day, perhaps they were blind to what the Messiah could be or should be. They had made up their mind as to who the Messiah would be and what he would bring and what kind of a life they would live. And so when the Messiah finally did show up, they were at least somewhat ignorant to it. He didn't fit their expectations. And many people could not hear his word because their own expectations got in the way. Let us not let our expectations about others get in the way. God may be working mysteriously among us. God may be doing some wonderful things through unusual circumstances. God may be choosing people who we would not choose to lead to be exactly the people who we need to lead us. I don't know. All I'm asking you is to keep your mind open. Keep your heart open to the movings of the Holy Spirit. Our God continues to do remarkable things in this world. And if we keep our eyes open, and if we keep our heart open, perhaps we'll be able to see them even as they are happening. Or perhaps after they have happened, we will be able at least to say, thanks be to God. For indeed, God does work in mysterious ways. Amen.